on finned, stiff membrane lobes, its titanic, toothless jaws closing on Doc's left ankle with a crushing force. Propelled by its fins, the mucksucker made a wrenching backward heave. It intended to drag Doc into the river with it. Digging his fingers into the mud, the old man kicked out with his right leg. A small, rational part of Doc's mind told him the mucksucker wasn't really a monster, but only a mutated form of catfish, a lungfish that dredged its meals from shallow bottoms and mudflats. Straining its sustenance through a fibrous screen at the back of its throat, a mucksucker was mostly considered a nuisance, not a threat. The larger part of Doc's mind told him he was in the grip of a 20-foot-long, half-ton hellspawn that intended to eat him. Bracing himself with one hand, Doc managed to draw his lama from its holster, but another backward lurch of the mucksucker jerked the weapon out of his sludge-slick hand. The weapon fell into an algae-scummed puddle.
Damnation!
As Doc groped frantically for it, Zadfrak lashed the mucksucker across its broad skull with a fishing rod. The mutie twitched in pain, but refused to release its grip. Zadfrak planted one foot on its head, preparing to drive the rod into one of its eyes like a spear. Then, like a sail unfurling, a serrated dorsal fin unfolded vertically from the mucksucker's back. The sharp spines of the fin stabbed Zadfrak's right arm and slashed furrows along his side. He staggered backward, dropping the rod to hug himself. He fell onto his back, full length. Blood sprang from half a dozen punctures on his arm, from shoulder to elbow. He thrashed over, gaining a kneeling position. Shooting out his left arm, his surprisingly strong fingers closed around Doc's right wrist.
Grab me with your other hand!
Gladly!
Doc grasped the man's wrist with both hands. The next backward lunge of the mucksucker dragged him only a foot. Suddenly, one of the mucksucker's huge white-rimmed eyes broke apart in a spray of gelatinous fluid, and several holes were stitched across the blunt skull. The crushing pressure on Doc's foot relaxed. Zadfrak yanked him forward and to his feet. Pawing the mud out of his eyes, Doc watched the death convulsions of the monster fish. Part of its long, thick-barreled body looked oddly deflated, and Doc realized that a bullet had punctured one of its internal air sacs. Ryan grabbed Doc by the shoulders and spun him.
You all right, Doc?
Luckily, just bewildered rather than devoured, thanks to our newfound friend. Where the devil did you come from?
I woke up and saw that the three of you were gone. I followed your footprints.
JB was attending to Zadfrak, who held his right arm at a stiff, unnatural angle. The skin around the puckered punctures was swollen and turning a livid purple.
Damn thing finned me. Got a dose of the poison.
You're having the luck of a shithouse rat since you met up with us. Hope you did better on your own.
The rest of the group, roused by the gunfire, came running to the riverbank. Though in various states of dress, all brandished weapons, their fingers on the triggers, barrels swinging back and forth, seeking targets.
It's okay. A run-in with a mucksucker. Taken care of.
Ryan turned to Zadfrak. We thank you for that.
I had to watch my son die. Rat cancer got him. Ain't fair to be chilled when you mean no harm.
Supported by Ryan, Zadfrak managed to walk rubber-legged to the bank. Mildred examined the wounds in his arm.
We'll have to try to draw out the poison.
We have some fixings for a poultice in the wag.
Held up by Christy, Zadfrak followed Mildred back to the campsite. JB studied the mucksucker's carcass.
We spend a day salting it down, we'll have a month's supply of meat.
If the axiom, you are what you eat, is indeed true, are you sure you want to consume the flesh of a creature that feeds on offal and excrement?
Eating lice.
Holding his long knife, Jack walked toward the mucksucker. Doc retrieved his lama and the rod and reel.
Your trout got away, flopped back into the water. It was a genuine whopper.
They all are, my dear fellow, they all are. And they always get away.
By the time the sun had topped the horizon, the white-haired youth had flayed the mucksucker's rubbery skin and excised the body from dorsal to ventral. JB and Ryan had returned to the camp, while Doc had volunteered to stay behind and watch the teenager's back. Ryan had built a fire, and a noxious odor wafted from a bubbling pot hanging from a spit over it. Mildred tended to the pot, stirring it with a long wooden spoon.
Pee, you! I hope that's not breakfast.
It's Christy's poultice. I don't usually have a lot of faith in folk remedies, but it's the best we've got.
Ryan bent over Zandfrak, who was lying in his sleeping bag. Eyes closed, his face filmed with perspiration. His lips had a slight bluish tinge. Pressing a hand to the man's forehead, Ryan felt a terrible heat.
He's burning up.
I know. He's having an extreme reaction to the toxin. A healthy man might be sick for a day, but our guest is anything but healthy.
Guided by Christie's instructions, Mildred stirred the heated mixture of herbs and plants. She poured the pulpy paste onto a square of porous cloth, then tied the four corners together to make a leaky bag. Moving over to Zadfrak, she stretched out his swollen right arm and applied the cloth over several of the punctures.
That's supposed to draw the poison out?
Supposedly. Even so, the shock to his system may be too severe for him to rally. All we can do is wait.
The prospect of remaining in the area another full day and night didn't disturb Ryan. He owed Zadfrak the chance to pull through. Besides, they had a supply of fresh water, and Doc's objections to mudsucker meat notwithstanding, plenty of food. Along toward late afternoon, while the mucksucker stew cooked over the fire, a black and white pinto pony stepped lightly from the underbrush at the western perimeter of the campsite. Everyone reacted immediately, rolling to their feet, bodies assuming combat stances. Astride the horse's back was a slightly built but live-looking Sioux warrior. He wore a fringed buckskin hunting shirt and leggings. His black hair flowed freely down his back, and red hawk feathers were pinned to the back of his head. His face, though unpainted, was a mask of restrained ferocity. The warrior could have stepped from the 19th century or an old Western movie, except for the M16 automatic assault rifle cradled in his arms. His sharp, dark eyes closely examined the faces of the people spread out in a semicircle around him, finally resting on Zadfrak.
Ryan, you remember any of the Lakota we've heard?
Maybe.
Oh, La Mitakola!
The warrior's grim slash of a mouth twitched ever so slightly at the flawed pronunciation of, "Hello, my friend."
Good afternoon. I am Touch the Sky. The Washichan call me Joe. I mean you no harm. I assure you I'm alone.
Ryan slowly lowered his Sig Sauer, and everyone followed suit, though J.B. did so reluctantly and slowly.
I see you caught a mucksucker.
Would you like some? There's plenty.
No, thank you. I never acquired a taste for it. And frankly, neither has anyone else I know.
See, I told you.
Besides, this isn't a social call. Why are you giving aid to the marked man?
The what?
Joe traced an X on his forehead.
The man who bears the mark of the family. It means he has crossed himself out of the flow of life.
I don't follow you.
You don't know he's from Hellskill?
You mean there is such a place?
There is, and if you value your lives, your spirits, you'll give it a very wide berth. Leave that carrion and go.
We owe a life to that man. Whatever he is, wherever he's from, he's sick and we owe him.
I understand you must discharge such debts. Even in the darkest of hearts, there is light somewhere, and that man's heart is very dark. But I don't intend to threaten you, only warn you.
You're being very cryptic, inscrutable even.
In which case, I'm living up to my stereotype. Very well, I'll speak with a blunt tongue. This land once belonged to the Cheyenne, the Lakota, the Crow, the Pawnee. When Sky Dark came, we believed it was a time of deliverance for our people and divine retribution against the white man. Their religion, their outrages, their politics, all was swept away. The tribes of my people returned to the old ways. We hoped the pre-dark evil was destroyed forever. Unfortunately, evil has a way of returning, or in the case of Hellskell's masters, never going away.
This is apparently some new meaning of the word blunt with which I am not familiar.
I'm getting there. A few survivors of pre-dark politics and pre-dark science banded together. They seek nothing less than to regain dominion of the world, to rebuild the ugly, soul-destroying societies and bureaucracies. They wish to revive the horrors of pre-dark. That man and his so-called family are their servitors. If you return him to Hellskell, then you'll learn the truth of my words. By then, it may be too late for all of you.
The pony turned and trotted back into the brush.
Ugh.
Zadfrak was conscious,